Right now, I'm standing near one of the most recognizable and largest pieces of public art in Boston. Near the harbor, in Dorchester, a work of art that can be seen for miles. It is officially untitled, but there are some names for it. Julie Burrows, Boston's Chief of Arts and Culture, is here with me. What's the name you call it?
Hi, Deb. I call it Rainbow Swoosh.
Rainbow Swoosh, which Carita Kent's so-called Rainbow Swoosh or Swash on the gas tank in Dorchester. This work dates back to 1971, I'm told. Now, WBUR has ranked the 50 best works of public art in Boston. This gas tank comes in at 12. This is from the list made by The Artery's Greg Cook.
Yes.
Julie, you chose this as our place to meet. What does this symbolize to you?
Yeah, this for me epitomizes the concept of the city as a canvas for artwork and finding artwork in really unexpected places. And I just love the scale of it, that you can see it for miles, you can see it on Google Maps, maybe you can even see it from outer space, I'm not sure.
Now, do you think, I mean, as you say, this is huge. Could something like this happen in Boston today?
I think it's all an issue of scale. And Boston, mostly the built-up parts of Boston, are at a really sort of lower, you know, 18th century scale. And so the challenge is finding those spaces where you can do things of this scale.
Now, a lot of the works on the list that we have at WBUR and a lot of the public art in Boston really are like landmarks. They're statues and things like that. Is that different from other cities, do you think?
No, I think it's pretty typical of other cities, especially older cities, where the role of public art originated as something civic and commemorative and memorial, really celebrating who are the heroes of the day.
We also know that there are some new pieces of public art in Boston, like the JR mural of the man on the raft, on the Hancock Building, the Ai Weiwei Chinese zodiac heads at the Rose Kennedy Greenway. Does that mean that public art is having a renaissance in Boston, would you say? Or what does it all symbolize to you?
I think, well, you know, so my history in Boston is about 20 months old, but I have seen a proliferation of interest in public art and then lots of programs that are following on, like NIFA's Creative City is funding public art. We're having a new percent for art program for permanent public art at city buildings. So I think as a result of the Boston Creates Cultural Plan, we're seeing this real resurgence of interest and then the funding to back it up.
In the Boston Creates plan, are there other things in there specifically for public art?
Yeah, people really wanted to see art incorporated into the fabric of the city, whatever that might mean. And actually the Carita Kent piece here on this giant, you know, tank is a great example of how you might find places to incorporate art where you really wouldn't expect it. And it's like, oh, actually that's a big white canvas. It's perfect for art.
I'm wondering if there is, you talked about the fabric of the city. Is there any sort of discussion about kind of moving art out of the downtown area into some of the outlying neighborhoods?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a huge interest in having artwork in every neighborhood, and we are delighted to partner with our Department of Public Works to incorporate artwork in their work to transform intersections and renew them. So Hyde Square, we just issued an RFP for a major piece of public art in Hyde Square in JP, and that'll be part of the burgeoning Latin Quarter cultural district that they're trying to designate there. So absolutely a huge interest in having public art be in other places.
Now, you're from Chicago.
Yes.
Yes. How does Boston compare to Chicago in terms of public art? Is that a loaded question?
Well, no. I love talking about this stuff. And I think what you see in Chicago is a lot more large scale, again, an issue of scale, and you see a lot more modern public art because the city built itself up in kind of the age of modern architecture. So you'll see modern pieces paired with modern architecture. You see much more of that there. But I was surprised to not see some of those modern pieces on Greg's list. So I have a bone to pick with him about some of the pieces that didn't make it to the list.
Tell me one that you think should have been on the list and isn't.
Oh, the Louise Nevelson piece that's on, I think, the Fenway. It's next to Temple Israel. That absolutely, Greg, huge missed boat there. Yeah.
What would you say Boston's reputation as a public art place is, and what would you like it to be? Are those two different
things? Yeah, I think there's a lot of room for improvement, and especially the city upping its game and doing percent for art. This is a huge deal that we're going to be joining basically best practices for civic building and municipal building, that we're going to incorporate artwork in the budget of major public buildings. This is, I think, is the most exciting piece of implementation we're doing right now in my office, and it's been fantastic to have this intergovernmental partnership between the budget office and the Public Building Commission and the Mayor's Office of Arts and Culture to really achieve this. The public's vision is to have public art really proliferate. So it's super exciting.
All right. Julie Burrows, Boston's Chief of Arts and Culture. Thanks very much for meeting us out here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Anytime.
It is beautiful. Nice to be out by the water.